Good morning. Our reading this morning comes from Acts 8. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city.
Good morning this morning. I saw Mike McCubbin as excited this morning as I've ever seen him. I said, Mike, I've got to leave early this morning. He said, before you speak? No, Mike. We're going to have to leave in just a moment to go to Brownsville, Tennessee, Haywood County. A dear friend of mine's daughter died unexpectedly on Friday. And so we're... several of us are going to be with them at visitation and funerals today. So I'm going to speak for a moment and then go, and y'all can finish the sermon or the service. I'll finish the sermon. I appreciate your patience with that. Glad to have all of you here on a beautiful fall day, right? Beautiful weekend. I'm thankful for it. And I hope that you're excited. I re-energize as fall comes, and it's good to be together. I want to talk just a moment about what we see here as Philip goes into Samaria, as Mike read for us, that those with evil spirits, they were cast out with shrieks. They came out, and the paralytics were healed. And as we read the scripture, the blind are able to see. Those who are sick are healed. And it says the city rejoiced. The city rejoiced. What's the significance of that? And we know what sickness and struggle does to us. And I want to talk about that more in just a moment. But what's happening here? Why is this so important? Because we know that these miracles are giving validity to the message of Philip. Just as Jesus performed miracles and they gave validity to his message, so when the apostles and those on whom they lay their hands are able to do these miracles, it does bring validity to the message, but there's really something deeper going on here. You remember John the Baptizer in prison. John has been arrested, and the main reason John has been arrested is that Herod the Great has died. He has three sons, and one of his sons has taken the wife of another son. He's taken his brother's wife as his queen. And John continually, publicly, and to them says, you can't have your brother's wife. You can't have your brother's wife. The Herod didn't like it. And guess who really didn't like it? His wife really didn't like it. Okay? And so he's arrested. And he's later going to be put to death, if you'll remember. Herodias' daughter dances, and Herod is pleased with her dancing and promises to grant her wish. And she asks her mother, and her mother says, I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. And so immediately John is beheaded. But it is about this message. But what I want to focus on for a moment is, do you remember John is imprisoned, and he sends a disciple, or a couple disciples, the passage tells us, to Jesus to ask this question: are you the one, or should we look for another? And the question is, are you the Messiah, or should we look for another? Now, John had baptized him, remember? John had talked about him. John had prepared the way for him. I'm not sure what's going on here, just to be honest with you. I'm not sure whether in this imprisonment John is having some doubt, or whether John wants this message to get to his disciples. I'm not sure. I'm conflicted personally, but I don't know that it matters. But do you remember Jesus' response back to John? The blind see, the deaf hear, and the lame walk. That is his message back to John. Now, is that the primary purpose of Jesus coming? No. It's not the primary purpose. It's not the primary reason for Jesus coming. The primary reason for Jesus coming is to show us how God lives in the flesh and to give His life as a sacrifice for sin, the perfect Lamb of God, and then to be raised from the dead to overcome the power of sin and Satan by overcoming death. Because you remember, and this is the truth, that Satan tells in the form of a serpent to Adam and Eve in the garden. This is what God says to them. And Satan says, you will not surely die. But what does God say to them? When you eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what will happen? You'll die. It's the consequences of sin. It is the wages of sin. It's what one earns from sin is death. And that is the power of Satan, is death. And so Jesus comes and dies, not because of his sin, because he was sinless, but he died for our sins that there might be payment from sin, and then God raised him from the dead, the first fruits of all of us who will be raised from the dead. So that's the primary purpose for Jesus coming. So why the miracles, and why are they important? Because not only does death come with sin, what else comes with sin? Part of the curse, right? Death, sickness, decay, selfishness, anger, wrath, problems with our work. You know, I tell you, that's part of the curse. The ground is cursed. So for all of us who do any kind of agriculture, whether you're planting flowers or a garden, are thousands of acres of crops. There are weeds, there are blights, there are bugs, there are droughts. There's something all the time that you're fighting, right? Something all the time. I think that curse even expands further than just the ground being cursed. There's just struggle in our work. In our need to provide for our sustenance, there is difficulty. There's just difficulty. There's backstabbing. There's bad bosses. Now, my folks don't have to deal with that, but some of you have bad bosses. All of those things. And there's even trouble in our relationships as family that was not intended. There's a struggle between men and women. It's part of the curse. So sickness and death and dying and pain are all part of the curse. It's not just death itself. It's all of these things are part of the curse. So Jesus comes as the Messiah, and Isaiah prophesies about it. And that's really what Jesus is saying when he gives his response back to John is, you know what Isaiah says about the Messiah. You know what Isaiah says about the Messiah, and I am the fulfillment of that. That's the message. But what we see here is this contrast between Satan and the world and the kingdom of God. All right? Satan comes, and where Satan is and where sin is and where selfishness and human desire is, there is sin and death and strife and turmoil and pain. Now, we can try to eliminate that, and we work hard at it, don't we? And that's not a bad thing that we try to work hard at that, to eliminate those things. But we can't eliminate them. Tuberculosis is not what it was 70 years ago. Polio is not what it was 70 years ago. I mean, I can start naming you lots of folks of my parents' generation who suffered from polio and have some problem because of that. But we very deal. But because those are not issues, there are still health issues we deal with today, right? Work on something, but there's still a problem. We can't solve them all. And we work to make things better, but there's always some other strife or problem coming. But here's the contrast. In the kingdom of God, these problems go away. They're gone. Now, when I say that, because we're Christians, does it mean we won't have these problems? No. Because we're living in a fallen world, right? We're living in a fallen world. We have to understand that. But what we see as the kingdom passes by and we get to be a part of it, is in the kingdom, these problems are solved. In God, there is life after death. There is eternal life. That death is not the end. That Satan does not hold power over us. That Jesus was raised and we have the promise of resurrection and life eternal. And here's what John sees in the Revelation and is able to write about. When he talks about the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. And he says that God will wipe the tears from our eyes and what? And the former things will have passed away. The new earth will not be under the curse that the current earth is under. The new earth will be as God intended it to be from the beginning. When he said, this is very good. Where man was in the garden with God. In this union that God had created. In the garden where all things were provided, where there were no bodocks or thistles or boll weevils or worms that cut your tomatoes. None of those things were there. Everything was perfect. Where everybody got along. And where the tree of life was and we could live forever. And so, not only do these miracles give testimony to the truth of what these men are preaching, but it gives a glimpse of the power of God over the consequences of sin. That we can be free from sin and death. That we can be free from sin and death. Now, while we're in this life, do we have to suffer the consequences? We do. And here's the truth of the matter, and we might as well be honest about it. The truth of the matter is, even among those of us who are Christians, don't raise your hands. Don't look at nobody, anybody. But even among Christians, do we have trouble at home? Y'all don't say, I'll say yes. And we need to know that. Because even among Christians, even though we're walking in God's light, there's still struggles, there's disagreements. Do we have trouble at work? Yes. Do we have health issues? Yes. But is God there to make a difference for us? Yes. And do we have better days coming? Yes. And who do we trust to get us through those things? Through God. I want to share one more story because not all this I'm free to share with you, but there's some special things going on today that have come about as a part of some real struggles in some families. And there's some special things happening today that I'm thankful to God for. But I want to remind you of this. Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers, remember? Because they were jealous of him. They hated Joseph. And they sold him into slavery. And some bad things happened to Joseph, right? Because he did the right thing. Joseph did the right thing and bad things happened, right? He refused to have an affair with Potiphar's wife, and she lied about it, right? He was doing the right thing. He sits in prison. But here's what God says. Here's the passage. Those brothers and those other people intended it for evil. But what did God intend it for? God intended it for good. What did God do in the life of Joseph? He used those things that happened in Joseph's life to bring about his will. And so, bad things happen to us. But when we walk with God, what will God do? God will turn the bad into good. Now, I'm not telling you everything's going to be pleasant. Everything's going to be perfect, and you're going to know the reason why. I don't want to disillusion you with that. But when we trust God, God will get us through, won't He? Because here's the power that they physically were casting out demons and healing those sicknesses. Because that's what happens in the kingdom of God. Those things are passed away. And that's what we get to look forward to. If you read the Isaiah passage, he says, we're fortunate we don't live in a desert. Oh, very fortunate. But let's imagine a drought. Let's imagine living in the desert, and the prophet talks about that there'll be water bubbling up. There'll be water bubbling up. That there'll be rains and there'll be water. And he talks about these fertile places. He said it'll be like these fertile places. And he talks about the healing that'll take place. So what he says, I know you're oppressed. To the people Isaiah's writing about, I know you're oppressed. I know the land is dry and it's hard. I know you're politically oppressed. I know you're oppressed by sin. I know you're oppressed by sickness. I know you're struggling. But the Messiah is coming, who will bring healing and life, and will bring life to the land and to the people. And so water will overflow and things will be prosperous and peaceful, and God will be with us. That's the promise we have. And so when we see these miracles, what we're seeing is the power of the kingdom of God to overcome sin and death and Satan. So it's just not about some people getting healed. It's about, here's the power of the Spirit of God to undo all the damage that Satan does. Because our God is greater than sin and Satan. That's the power of that message. That God has the power to change lives, to change situations, to take bad things and turn them into good. But even if our days here are not good, they're not good. And we're blessed people, but let's just say our days are not good. They're short and numbered. But our days with God are always good. They're always good. And Jesus has gone to prepare a place and He's coming back. He is the Messiah, the Son of God, and He keeps His promises. If you need to come to the foot of the cross, will you do that while we stand and sing?